You left it there at the first one you made.
One hand in the bag, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And matter even less so, right? Because matter doesn't come together with efficient cause, the same in number, and not even the same in what? Form or kind, right? Okay. So the dough, right? Doesn't agree, right? Even in kind with the thing. Because this is an ability, meaning passibility, that is an act, right? Okay. That's his first argument, right? God is the first efficient cause. It's an extrinsic cause. Secondly, because since God is the first efficient cause, it belonged to him to what? Act through himself and first with nothing before. But what comes together into composition with another is not first and by itself acting, but more the what?
Common.
The composite itself, right? So the form of the composite is that by which it acts, but it's not what acts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the hand doesn't act, but the man acts through the hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fire heats through heat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Whence God is not able to be the part of something composed, huh? Third, because no part of something composed can be simply what? First among beings. Neither matter and form, which are parts, neither, I suppose, which are the first parts of composed things. For matter is an ability, but ability is after act simpliciter, right? And the form which is a part of the composed is a form that is partaking, huh? And just as the one partaking is after that which is through what? Essence, right? Essentially so. So also the thing partaken. Just as fire in things nighted is after that which is fire essentially. But it's been shown above that God is the first being, what? Simply, huh? So the first two arguments are taken from God being the first efficient cause, right? And where he doesn't agree with the matter of form in what? Number, right? And sometimes not even kind, right? Okay. And then the other argument is from the efficient cause being what? First and through itself acting, right? So if God was just a part of something else, he would not be first and through himself acting, but this composite would be.
Mm-hmm.
To him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the third argument is from what? From God being, again, the first what? Being, right? Okay. Then he gets kind of a separate argument that therefore matter can't be the first being because ability is after act, right? Simply. And a form, God can't be a form of some other composite because then he would be what? Partaking. Yeah. Okay. So you're convinced God doesn't enter into composition with other things? Okay. Now, as you applied the first objection from Dionysius, he says that the deity is said to be the being of all things. Not what formally, but what effective as an efficient cause, and as a what exemplar, right? Huh? Okay. You know how when I talk about God as a cause, and there's four kinds of cause, right? I say, in how many senses of cause is God a cause? What?
Not material.
No. But I sometimes say it's a cause in 2.5 senses. Okay? Because when Aristotle talks about form, he distinguishes between the form and the exemplar, or the model, right? Mm-hmm. And the form is intrinsic to the thing, which is a form, right? Well, the exemplar is outside of the thing, right? But something is what? Imitates it, right? Mm-hmm. Or is made like it, huh? Okay? My father's company, they made farm wagons, and they had the patterns up on the wall, right? And they would take them down when they're going to make a wagon, right? So you're making a form in this other matter, this new matter you brought into the wood shop, huh? Like the pattern on the wall, right? Okay? So God is a cause in the sense of end and mover or maker, and exemplar, but not the intrinsic form. So I say half, and not at all, for this matter. So he's a cause in 2.5 senses, huh? Okay. Although sometimes we kind of run together, fish and exemplar together, right? You know, you hear them sometimes speaking that way. So we just speak of God as the Alpha and the Omega, right? But another way you could say God is a cause in 2.5 senses, huh? So when we're said to be made to the image and likeness of God, then you're speaking of God as a cause, what? As exemplar as well as the maker. So that's the way to understand Dionysius, huh? But Dionysius has to be explained sometimes by Thomas, huh? Okay. And Augustine too, right? You know? Not just to understand these guys, but to not misunderstand them, right? Okay. And once in a while it has to do with Aristotle too, you know, but because Aristotle's talking about what does God know in the 12th Book of Wisdom, right? And he seems almost to be saying that it would be unworthy for God to know anything less than himself, right? Okay? And some people understand Aristotle to mean that God knows only himself and doesn't know other things, right? And yet, you know, we have at least two places where he attacks Empedocles' opinion, because according to Empedocles' opinion, we know something God doesn't know. And Aristotle, that's absurd, right? So I think Thomas quite understands what Aristotle is doing, is trying to say, what is it that God knows chiefly, right? Huh? Okay? And he doesn't mean that he doesn't know anything else, but he's going to know anything else by knowing himself, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing else could define the divine mind, because nothing else would be worthy of the divine mind, right? Mm-hmm. You see? And nothing else could be the primary object, you might say, of his mind, right? Mm-hmm. Other than himself, because then something other than himself would be the perfection of his mind, right? So it has to be himself. But some people misunderstood that as if God didn't know anything but himself. Huh? And Aristotle, you know, in at least two places we have, you know, takes it as being absurd that this rejection of the absurd of the argument of Empedocles, huh? You know, Empedocles says, by love we know love, and by hate we know hate, and by earth, earth, and by air, and by fire, fire, and by water. Because we have these things in us, we know them, right? But then he says that there's no, what? A hate in God, huh? Which is interesting, he says that, right? But then if there's no hate in God, then God would know hate, and we'd know something he didn't know, which is an absurd consequence, huh? So, sometimes you have to explain even Aristotle, but more so Augustine and Dionysius, you know? But you know my rule of thumb, right? Aristotle means what Thomas says he means. But I think it's a very good principle. And I think you could say more or less too, Augustine means what Thomas says he means too. But sometimes you might be stretching it a bit there, you know? You know? And Dionysius means what Thomas says he means. It's good enough for Thomas, it's good enough for me. Okay, the second argument was saying that God is what was taken from form rather than esse, right? The first one was taken from esse. Okay. And he says, well, God is a form, but the form in the sense of exemplar, right? Mm-hmm. Not the form which is a part of the composite This comes up again when Thomas is explaining.